Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpin. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and also her latest book, which is Before Her Voice Was Still. And we say good morning to Dr. Werpin. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you. And I can't believe how cool and cold it's getting. It just seems too soon, even though all summer we probably were wishing for that nice, crisp, cold weather. As the weatherman always says, good sleeping weather, right?
Right. This is going to be very good sleeping. This is going to be superior sleeping weather.
The thing about the weather is that it doesn't guarantee, you know, a good night's sleep.
No, and I think
and, that's what I really want to talk about today. Jill, are you there?
I am here. I am totally here. I was going to say, are you the puppy helps?
I didn't hear from you. So anyway, I just wanted to say that we've talked about all sorts of things that doctors seem not to talk about with their patients, and exercise or are you maybe losing muscle strength? But the reason I mentioned asked about you because you and Marshall, I'm sure, have perhaps more than most people, have encountered all sorts of sleep difficulties simply because the necessity to wake up really early when you are on the radio and then on the days when you don't have to wake up so early, trying to either resume a normal wake sleep schedule or, perhaps even keeping the one that you have during the work week. And I just wondered if you felt yourself, the effect of, sleep deprivation or waking up, many more times during the night than
Marshall is better at this because he is one of the few people I know who actually survives broken sleep. I don't do well with it's funny. Shark Goodman for the last three nights has decided that at 4 a.m. or 3 whatever time it is, it's really dark. And he has to go out, and it's just making me nuts. But I am lucky, I would say, in that I have always been able to fall back asleep. But I'm sure people would say that my memory is failing.
Well, okay, so this is the point, Jill, and that's what I mentioned about the doctors. Starting from the beginning is that we all know, unless you never read a paper or anything related to health, that if you don't get enough sleep, there are all sorts of consequences. Amazingly bad consequences from maybe temporary loss of memory, like I walk into a room and why did I come in the room, what was I looking for, to the point of to the association between difficult disturbed sleep and cognitive difficulties. I mean, really, dementia seems to be almost a trigger or a risk factor for dementia in older age. We know that people's moods can change, they become depressed. It makes it very hard to concentrate, harder to deal with stress when you are sleep-deprived. In addition, there are all sorts of metabolic problems. Apparently, type 2 diabetes has been linked to, sleep disorders, along with, weight gain and high blood pressure. Problems that really should not exist if you got enough sleep. And and what people are usually concentrate on when they talk about poor sleep is difficulty in falling asleep and difficulty in staying asleep in the sense that they may wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and not be able to go back to sleep at all. What people tend not to concentrate on, and sometimes we're not even aware of it ourselves, is something you just described, being awakened in the middle of the night, and sometimes more than once you have a baby that cries, a dog that whines, you hear outside noises like ambulances or police cars going by, or maybe even airplanes, you might be a thunderstorm, things that wake you up in the night and sometimes over and over again, and you wake up, you're not really even sure that you're awake, but you get up, or going to the bathroom. You sort of stumble off to the bathroom, you stumble back to bed. But this may happen, especially as people get older, 3 or 4 times a night. And this is called lack of continuous sleep. And it happens to so many of us so often that we simply take it for granted. If I only wake up twice a night because my puppy is whining only twice a night, wow, that's a good night's sleep. What doctors have now said is that we have to concentrate on that, not just inability to fall asleep or inability to stay asleep, but the fact that, our bodies are not getting the continuous sleep that apparently our sleep cycles demand in order for us to have you know, just good memories, good health, you know, feeling well, being able to concentrate, and possibly decrease the effect of possible dementia in later life. So what I realize is that when you go to see your doctor for, well, before COVID came around, you know, for your annual checkup, for example, and your doctor asks you various questions and weighs you, measures you, etc., how many caretakers, you know, your health caretaker, actually ask you about your sleep? I mean, if you have real insomnia, of course, that will come up. You know, doctor, I can't go to sleep. I can't stay asleep. I wake up at 3 a.m., and that's it for the night. But how many of them actually say to you, gee, Jill, how many times during the night do you wake up, you know, normally?
I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that.
Anyway, and the thing with that is that that is really a risk factor for all sorts of medical problems that simply has gone unnoticed. And it's something that you normally would never go to a sleep clinic to deal with, because you think, well, it's just because the baby is crying, the ambulances are running by, racing by, or there's a dog barking every single night. And I think it's something that we really ought to think about and, you know, try to, you know, either change our environment so if possible so that we don't wake up so often, or else talk to a physician about ways in which we can perhaps change the way we sleep in order so we get the kind of sleep that our bodies really deserve and need.
Yeah, I think that, and the other thing where life has become, no pun intended, quite contorted, is with these varying degrees of stay at home, locking down. People's schedules, of course, got upended in a lot of cases.
That's right.
And so, for those who didn't sleep easily, I think I know more people who, having nothing to do, by the way, with the past 8 months, but just in general, more people who have sleeping issues than not anyway.
So yes, I think the real issue is this: you asked somebody, well, how did you sleep last night? Okay, not terrific, not wonderful. Okay, which means, okay, I only got up three times during the night. You know, it was a little too hot, a little too cold. You know, it was a little noisy, etc. How many people say, wow, I really had a good night's sleep last night? Is that, you know, the weather's getting colder. It seems to make people feel, you know, a little cozier in bed. You don't have to worry about the air conditioning going off and on, or the humidity or what have you. And so we're going into, quote, good sleeping weather. But how does that really translate into a good night's sleep? And it's something that I have never been asked. I wonder if you've ever been asked to go when you see a doctor, how have you been sleeping? And you may go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you've gained weight. Well, it's because I've been eating to stay awake, doctor, because I don't get a good night's sleep. That conversation never takes place. In fact, you go to a weight loss clinic, and they never say to you how you're sleeping. So it's something I think that we have to bring to people's attention. It's not something we just should take for granted, because it really does have long-term consequences.
Thank you very
much. I wish you a good night's sleep tonight.
I need a good night's sleep this afternoon, anyway.
Right.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman. Food for mood.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, you can hear Judy every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio and all of Judy's programs at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.